950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, Brett and Eric on a Tuesday afternoon. Yeah, I'm kind of nervous about this flu stuff going around. That's nuts, but it's been happening at all these Twin City schools where you have, what was it, over 300 students that were sick at a Wayzata middle school, yeah. About 28% of the student body at a middle school in Chaska. Yeah, that is crazy stuff, especially when you're hearing that it's actually from a strain of influenza that typically doesn't take effect right away during the season. So, yeah, I'm going to be using that hand sanitizer I have in my office probably a little more often than I probably do because I don't want the flu.
No, the flu is awful. If I was one of the students at that school, I'm not going to school. You know, there's already 300 kids out. It's not like you're going to be learning anything important when there's that much of the class gone.
At least when I was a kid, I still remember, like, whenever we would do those Christmas pageant-type choir events, there was always one kid in the choir at those who clearly should not have been there that's sneezing up a storm.
Beat red and just soaked in sweat.
Yeah, either beat red or pale as a ghost. Yeah, I mean, like, you don't need to bring your kid there for the special Christmas pageant. You can leave them at home for 1 year. At least in my family, the running joke was for a while when I was a kid, my sister got sick for like 3 straight Christmases, and there was 1 year we actually, my parents for whatever reason decided, oh, let's go look at Christmas lights on the way home from church as she's sitting there in the car kind of looking like death. So she's at least gotten past that, though. I never ran into that as a kid getting sick around Christmas. You ever have that happen to you?
I've only really gotten like a bad flu once in my life. That was probably in like February. I don't remember ever being sick for Christmas though.
Yeah, I think I've managed to avoid that as well. Unless I forgot about it and my parents will tell me after I get off the air saying,
suppress that memory.
Yeah, just completely suppressing that memory. I kind of picked up that something might be happening when, so as I brought up before, I stream sports and other events, and one of the teams I cover is Totino Grace. They hired me to cover all of their boys' hockey games, and what I kind of picked up last week was that they lost to a team they probably shouldn't have lost to, so I ended up talking to their coach in a little post-game interview we do, and I was talking to them. So what happened to you guys? And apparently, yeah, they were missing about half of their first two lines due to the flu, and then the following 2 days later, when they had another game, they actually had to cancel the JV game because the other team didn't have enough players for their JV squad simply because they were all sick. So, yeah, that stuff is definitely go around. Wash your hands, and as Eric brought up, don't go to school. Don't bring your kid to school if they're sick, or if you're sick yourself, don't go to work. Not worth the risk whatsoever. We kind of made that mistake here at the station back in the fall when we had a bug going around that hit just about everyone here on staff. That got you as well, didn't you?
I think so. I didn't get it as hard as everyone else, but I definitely felt unwell for a couple days.
Yeah, it at least wasn't the flu, but it was a real nasty cold where you had, well, the whole gamut of running through your face, of the nose, the ear thing going on, the cough, all of that fun stuff. And also, do get your flu vaccinations now. Of course, you'll probably hear, well, I still got sick even though I had the flu, even though I got a flu shot that 1 year. Well, the flu shot is not 100% effective. It just pretty much reduces the chances that you'll get the flu. So
there's like 40 different strains of flus, right? So they're only immunizing you against maybe two or three. It's kind of a guessing game which one.
Exactly. Yeah, it just reduces your chance. Yeah, it doesn't completely prevent the chance that you'll actually get the flu yourself. All right, so before we dive into the more meaty political topics for today, I got to bring this up with the Gopher football team because this is something that's bugged me for a while when it comes to college sports, and that's the fact, of course, that college athletes don't get paid, even though they're responsible for bringing millions and millions of dollars of revenue into the school. Well, the Gopher football team. So what's their reward for the players for playing in the Outback Bowl, which is going to be on New Year's Day in Tampa, Florida? Oh, boy. They're going to be getting a $125 gift card to Amazon, a Jostens ring, also a Fossil watch, and an Outback Steakhouse gift card, and a hat. So there you go. You bring millions of dollars in revenue to the school. You're responsible for them building a 60 to 80,000 seat stadium, and oh, here you go. Here's your Outback Steakhouse gift card.
Are they trying to play this as if it's payment, or are these just happen to be gifts they'll receive?
Well, this is apparently from the official Outback Bowl itself, because that actually is a pretty good point, because obviously you can't take in bribes or money if you're a college athlete. And so apparently this must be approved by the NCAA, or the Outback Bowl is really having some massive issues in terms of following NCAA rules, because this is actually the bowl game itself giving away this memorabilia to both the Gophers and I forgot who they're playing. I think it's Auburn. They're both going to be receiving all of this stuff. But yeah, you still can't make money on the fact that teams are also still selling your actual jersey with your name on your back. Can't make money off that, but at least you get an Outback Steakhouse gift card, so that more than compensates
for
it.
Those Bloomin' Onions are pretty good.
I haven't been to Outback Steakhouse in a while. I still miss the Minnesota Steakhouse. Do you remember that way back in the day?
No, I don't.
That was around in the 90s that I think it became the Timber Lodge Steakhouse, and I'm not sure what happened to it since then, but I know the Minnesota Steakhouse was a big staple in the Twin Cities back in the 80s and the 90s. Also got to bring this up. This is another non-political topic, but do want to talk about this and kind of get your take on this, Eric. The Mall of America is one step closer to adding a gigantic indoor water park. At its Monday night meeting, the Bloomington City Council approved the development plan for the park, which is, this is a huge park, by the way, 335,000 square feet of a facility that would go up just north of the mall with a connection built over Lindau Avenue. Financing for the project still needs to be approved, which could happen early next year. You're going to be going to a 335,000-foot water park?
Probably not.
Yeah, neither am I.
Although I can say, like, during when I was younger, the Wisconsin Dells were a blast.
I don't think this is going to have anything on Wisconsin Dells still. They can try their hardest.
That's true, but they have, like, the large water resorts in Wisconsin Dells.
Yeah.
Probably similar to what they're building here.
What I would say about this, though, if this does actually help bring more tourists to the Mall of America, this goes back to, well, the so-called People's Stadium, or Taj Mazzigi, or also known as U.S. Bank Stadium, for the Vikings that we built a few years ago. Why did we not actually put a tax on Mall of America that could have been used to pay for the stadium? Or not even just for the stadium, how about for access for everyone to have Minnesota care or some sort of universal health care coverage? It strikes me as being such a logical thing that you have a big tourist attraction in your state or in your metropolitan area. Why not put a tax on that, since it's mostly going to be people coming from out of town that are actually going to pay that tax and then use it to fund other programs or the Viking Stadium? That would have been, I think, a much better use of our tax dollars, but that never actually happened. I think that actually would have probably completely funded the Viking Stadium if they had actually built that in Bloomington. If you just put a tax on the Mall of America, boom, you're covered. But that makes too much sense, and it didn't happen. By the way, I think other states do that too, where they actually put a excise tax or whatever you want to call it on whatever their big tourist attraction is, and they use that to fund whatever is in their state budget. But here in Minnesota, we decided, we're not going to do that.
It makes sense because it's a way to spread around the wealth that you're generating through tourism.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas it is now, how many people are receiving that money? You know, it's a relatively small number of people who own the businesses inside of the Mall of America
and
who might not even be from around here. And then
too,
I guess the people who can get jobs there. And jobs in the mall are probably not the best.
No, they're paying, what, like $8-9 an hour?
Probably.
And really, if you're a tourist, are you going to say, well, I was going to go to the Mall of America, but then I saw they had this 2% tax on everything they sold at the mall, so I'm not going to go anymore.
Their water park is $10 more a day.
Yeah, no one's going to say, oh, I'm not going to go to the Mall of America because they have this extra tax on everything they sell there. So, yeah, just my idea there for how we could fund a lot of good programs here in Minnesota. But alas, it does not look like it will be happening, or didn't happen, of course, either when they were trying to build the Vikings and the Twins Stadium. Also in the news for today, some good news coming out of Duluth. The Duluth City Council joined Minneapolis and actually only Minneapolis. I thought St. Paul had passed this already, but they had not. A ban on conversion therapy. Duluth, the second city to do this. That, of course, is the practice of attempting to convert lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender, and queer young people into, well, heterosexuals or straight people. By an 8-0 vote, with the 5th District Councilor Jay Fossil absent, the Duluth City Council approved an ordinance banning the use of conversion therapy on anyone under the age of 18. Why not also do that for anyone over the age of 18, too. But anyways, following in the footsteps of Minneapolis and also Superior, Wisconsin, cities that have already done the same, and I think they're trying to get that also passed in St. Paul as well. And again, somehow that still has not happened at the state level, even though there was some conversations about possibly doing that in the state legislature, but that kind of got shot down by Paul Gazelka, who has a bit of a checkered history when it comes to LGBTQ issues, and we'll leave that there at that. And then we have out of the DFL party. So before I get to this, though, do you remember how the Republican Party of Minnesota announced that initially on their presidential preference ballot and their primary ballot? Actually, it's the primary ballot. We don't even do a preference ballot anymore since we're not doing caucuses to decide who we're going to vote for in presidential campaigns. It's all primary systems. But anyways, if you remember what the Minnesota Republican Party decided to put on their primary ballots, initially they said, you only get one choice, Donald Trump, no other choices. They later at least somewhat recanted by giving you a choice of at least writing someone else in. But still, nonetheless, if you're a Republican, your only choices are Donald Trump and write-in. Well, the Democrats are set to put forth their primary ballot, as the DFL chairman Ken Martin will be submitting the names of Democratic presidential candidates who qualified for ballot access in Minnesota. Following this, Chairman Martin will make brief remarks and take questions from the media. I am curious to see who he puts on there, because obviously the big names like Biden and Bernie Sanders and Pete Buttigieg and Elizabeth Warren and Amy Klobuchar will be on there. But I am kind of curious to see if someone like Mike Bloomberg actually makes the DFL ballot, because technically he did get into the race very, very late, and I think he's not even eligible to be on the ballot in some of the early voting states. So I'm curious to see if Bloomberg actually ends up on the Minnesota ballot. Not that I would necessarily miss him if he does miss the Minnesota ballot, or some of the other lesser candidates like Tulsi Gabbard or trying to think who else. Is Joe Sestak still in the race?
I believe he is.
Sestak, yeah, to see if those guys
are. You know who's always on the ballot, I've noticed, the past couple elections, who I never see anything from? I don't know how he does this. The guy Rocky De La Fuente.
Oh, that guy's always on, yeah.
I know,
yeah.
How does he do it? But it's just kind of like a fun little Easter egg every time you look at the ballot and you go, who's Rocky De La Fuente?
He must kind of be the only savior of national politics. I always love on Minnesota ballots, only savior's always on. You can always vote for him for some office. He usually runs for a different office every election cycle as well, and for different parties. He's been a DFLer, he's been a Republican, I think he's been for the Green Party, he's been an independent. Yeah, Ole Savior is kind of one of those other fun Easter eggs. There should be like a ballot bingo on there where you predict what office you're going to see certain candidates run for, or I don't know what my necessarily my idea would be. That'd be kind of fun to do, like a ballot bingo, though.
Yeah.
And one more thing to touch before we go to our first commercial break, and this is kind of a surprising story out of the 2nd Congressional District. So Angie Craig thus far only has one Republican challenger. It's a guy by the name of Rick Olson, who I've talked about a few other times on the show before. He, of course, is a Republican. And as a little reminder of his background, he was originally a member of the state legislature in Michigan, ended up moving to Minnesota, and he has some really interesting policy stances, including actually being very much in favor of trying to prevent climate change. I think he might even be on board with the Green New Deal. But there is another stance he's taken that should raise some eyebrows that really has not been picked up much in the media. Olson actually said if he were in Congress, he would vote yes on impeachment against President Trump. Olson said the founding fathers expected the members of the House to impartially cast their votes, with the president choosing not to present any evidence. The only evidence on record is for a vote of yes on impeachment, which I find interesting because, as you've probably seen covered extensively this week, there's this guy out of New Jersey, Jeff Van Drew, who, at least right now, I think is still technically a Democratic congressman from New Jersey, who is rumored to be switching to the Republican Party. And we're seeing constant talk from this guy saying, oh, look at the Democrats losing their members. Even Jeff Van Drew is switching parties from Democrat to Republican. But we're not hearing much talk about even Justin Amash, who, by the way, is very much in favor of impeachment and is a former Republican, and no talk at all about this guy, Rick Olson, again running against Angie Craig, who is actually representing a district that Donald Trump won in 2016. And Rick Olson thus far is the only Republican seeking the nomination in that district, but nary a whisper about the fact that even he says, yes, he would vote in favor of impeachment. And one more note about that in terms of how the media is covering impeachment. Meet the Press over the weekend. I picked this up from Media Matter since I can't really stand Chuck Todd on Meet the Press. I just can't listen to the guy. But
Sleepy-eyed Chuck Todd.
Yeah, sleepy-eyed Chuck Todd. So apparently, according to Media Matters, Chuck Todd hosted this voter panel on Meet the Press over the weekend with voters from Michigan talking about impeachment. Turns out this entire panel was all Republican voters in 2016, and they were talking about how dissatisfied they were with Democrats and their frustration with the fact that they're trying to impeach Donald Trump, even though all 13 of the people on this panel were Trump voters in 2016. Now, Chuck Todd, at least at the end of the segment, did say, yeah, they all are Republican voters, but funny enough, they didn't hold at least a similar roundtable of Democratic voters. So I find it interesting that we are very much seeing this portrayal a lot from the national and the corporate media that there's all of this dissatisfaction with impeachment. And you can chime in on this too, Eric. I don't necessarily think it's the case where the media is being biased one way or another against Democrats or Republicans in this case. I think it's more is that if you're the media, you love actually fostering this conflict and saying that there's this unpopular legislation, an unpopular proposal going through Congress, because obviously conflict will get you ratings, will sell you newspapers, will get you online subscriptions. So I think this is exactly what you're seeing a lot from the national and the corporate media. They're trying to kind of manufacture this outrage about impeachment. And Meet the Press, again, a great example of this, having this their voter panel, which, by the way, featured all Republican voters. And by the way, if you actually look at impeachment polling, it pretty much mirrors the approval rating for Donald Trump, where you generally have support for impeachment in the upper 40s with opposition to impeachment somewhere in the low to the mid 40s, which very much, again, kind of mirrors the approval ratings for President Trump. We're going to take a break and come on back with some more stories at the local and the national level, including one on taxes and the record low amount corporations are actually paying on their taxes this year. We'll talk more about that up next on the program.
At Better Futures Minnesota, we transform the lives of men and support Minnesota's environment by working towards zero waste. Our approach reaffirms each man's dignity and supports self-sufficiency. Better Futures Minnesota is a work training model. Through our reuse, retail warehouse, and supervised work crews with specialized in residential and commercial building deconstruction, property maintenance, appliance recycling, and janitorial services, we demonstrate ways to employ hard-to-employ men on a pathway to independence. Hire our work crews at BetterFuturesMinnesota.com.
Auto Technical needs your help to keep our transportation program going. Social agencies like Workforce Training Center, Tubman Shelter, they rely on our mission of providing transportation to families in need. Donations of vehicles are down 80% because of the new tax laws. We really need vehicle donations to continue our mission. Help us, please. Give a call to Richard at 612-919-5526, autotechnical.org.
Hi, this is Ryan, owner of Snap Construction. It's been great working with so many of the passionate AM 950 listeners over the years. We have realized how important AM 950 is to the community. I want to see AM 950 continue to grow and continue to thrive into the future. To help continue to grow, Snap Construction will be putting up proceeds to assist the station in marketing on social media. Snap Construction encourages you to do your part by liking and sharing the content on AM 950 social media platforms.
This is Chad, owner of AM 950. Ryan has always told me the best time to get work done is during the colder months of the year because demand is much lower. He is backing that up again by offering 30% off labor on windows and siding from now until the end of December. Call Snap Construction now to get 30% off labor on windows and siding. As always, Snap Construction stands by their work with a lifetime craftsmanship warranty. Trust the company AM 950 trusts, Snap Construction, arguably the most well-reviewed roofing, siding, and window contractor in the metro area. Get a free estimate by calling 612-333-SNAP or find them online at snapconstruction.com. Financing options available.
Share a special experience with your loved ones this holiday season at Nightingale, an intimate eatery and cocktail lounge. Receive a $20 gift certificate for every $100 gift certificate purchased through the end of December. Perfect for special occasions and holiday gatherings. A fun, cozy atmosphere and delicious, inventive dishes make for a memorable and warm get-together. Nightingale is located at 26th and Lindale in Minneapolis. More at nightingalempls.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Scott Chambaud from Chambaud Family Dentistry. We're the fear-free, get-you-out-of-pain-now dental office. We always offer a free exam and x-rays for new patients because we believe you shouldn't have to pay to find out what's wrong with your teeth. Call today. We're open early and late and Saturdays to fit your schedule. As my daughter Rachel says,
if you don't see my dad, please see another dentist. Take care of your teeth because they're the only ones you get. Call 1-800-FIX-MY-TEETH or visit fixmyteeth.us.
Welcome back to the 4 o'clock show. It's Brett along with Eric with you on your Tuesday afternoon. We got a couple of phone calls on the line. Let's go to Randy in Coon Rapids. Hi there, Randy.
Hey, how are you guys doing today?
All right. Hey, by the way, saw the note on the board there. Yeah, you are correct. It looks like that panel was Obama to Trump voter. So, yeah, thanks for pointing that out.
Well, and I think that's kind of why they wanted to do – that was one of the purposes behind that survey they wanted to take to find out, you know, kind of gauge where people and stuff were at. And it sounded – from what I heard, it sounded like the people that were kind of iffy about voting for Trump, but they did – because they had voted for Obama previously, were even more solidly in the Donald Trump camp. And that's just what I've been hearing. That's what makes me so, I cannot wait for next year. It's going to be like Christmas when we get Donald Trump elected again. I think he's the most amazing president we've ever had in this country. And I just can't wait till we get to vote for him again. I know it's going to drive you guys all nuts, especially because, you know, with Ruth Bader probably going to be retiring and all these appellate court judges that Donald Trump's putting in there, probably not looking great for your guys' side, but, you know, it's looking good for my side.
All right, we'll leave it there, Randy. Yeah, Randy's still on board with the red Kool-Aid there, and, yeah, there's nothing we're ever going to say that's going to convince Randy not to vote for Donald Trump, so I don't really know where else to go with that. Which I think is actually a good point to bring up because it's not about trying to convince Republican voters to go back and vote for Democrats in 2020. It's about getting those people who didn't vote in 2016 to actually show up at the polls. You have a comment there about our buddy Randy. Eric looked like he had something to say.
No, I think it's just nice to hear from Randy every now and then, yeah, just to like get a Randy. Window into the soul of
the
someone.
Window
who,
into that, yeah, yeah.
He's honest about it. There's nothing that's going to change his mind. He's dead set. So
yeah,
and it's good to have a reminder.
Yeah, and by the way, I know there are some folks that disagree with me here on 950 and also some of our callers who disagree with me. I'm not one of those people who thinks it's a guarantee that Biden or Bernie or Warren will beat Trump in 2020. I still think it's very much a 50-50 chance when you look at the fact that the economy is perceived to be doing well. The important part to bring up is that it's perceived to be doing well. Whether it actually is, well, that's up for interpretation. I would argue it's certainly not. And then, of course, he has the advantage of incumbency. So that's why I still think he's probably got a 50-50 chance of being reelected. So no, I would not be shocked to actually see him get reelected in 2020. Let's go to Gary in Minneapolis who wants to chime on in. Hi there, Gary. What's on your mind today?
Well, I was going to comment, Randy and the others, like in our example of people hypnotized by Fox News and the Limbaugh types. So it's a, kind of a hypnotized, you can't get through to them. But I would say this to Randy, maybe he should go back where it came from and see how he likes me telling him that the way Trump tells us and our Congress people that, and see how they like it. And that's just an example of some of the garbage he says to us. Anyways, I called about, Willie Sutton, this is what I called about. Willie Sutton was asked why he robbed banks. He said, that's because where the money is. And that's something, we can talk about Trump again, all these tax cuts to the rich. You know, the income tax is always the fairest tax because you pay according to what you're able to pay. Mm-hmm. And talking about, that's why I mentioned Willie Sutton, and the other taxes, the inheritance tax, and the founder put that in for a reason so we wouldn't have a top-heavy oligarchy like we're getting now. I don't know what the inheritance tax is now, but they made it so small. And, you know, that gets to people like the Paris Hilton, like they say, so all the billions don't pass, trillions don't pass down to the kids. And then when they give those tax cuts, those income tax cuts to the rich, we got to pay with depleted roads and sewers and stuff, and the kids getting in debt in college. And but I did also called and all these fees, but I got called about what you said about the Mall of America. I think that's a good idea, but you got to be careful, because my rep years ago told me that a lot of people come from other states to buy their suits there because there's no sales tax. And then, I want to just say I heard on the news today that the lake cabins, especially up north, they're going to triple their taxes on them, and maybe you want to comment on that last statement. Thank you so much, Brett.
All right, sounds good, Gary. Yeah, Gary, hitting all the topics today. I haven't really heard much about the tripling of taxes on cabins. Sounds like property taxes, but that doesn't sound like a very good thing if you're a property owner up there.
Did I hear this right? Did Gary refer to Randy as a bimbo?
I don't think he quite said that.
Okay.
But yeah, that would be an interesting insult on the part of Gary. Not saying I condone that whatsoever,
that.
But yeah, we'll have to.
I condone that. That's funny.
I you should go back and listen to that. I'm curious what Gary's exact words were right there. 952-946-6205. 952-946-6205. If he did say that, that has got to be the most random insult I think anyone's ever had on AM 950.
Randy the Bimbo.
Randy.
Got a new title.
Wow. All right. Anyways, coming up next, we're going to be talking about something Gary mentioned, and that's tax rates, because Gary mentioned that the progressive income tax is one of the most fair taxes we have ever had. And we're going to talk more about that and the budget as well, because apparently we reached a budget deal. Yay! Again, as I brought up yesterday, not actually such a good thing. More on the way next here on the program.
With all the convenient big box stores that sell appliances, why do so many Minnesotans choose Warner Stellion? Check online to learn that Warner Stellion is a Minnesota family-owned business for over 60 years. Warner Stellion sells more brands than anyone else, and our passionate specialists are committed to impressing you so much that you'll refer us to everyone you know. That's our mission here at Warner Stellion. Ask around. Check us out online. And when it's your time to buy appliances, join over 300,000 Minnesota homeowners and choose the specialists, Warner Stellion.
I'm attorney Rachel Schroman of Schroman Law in St. Paul, and I am passionate about providing legal services in the areas of estate planning, probate, and elder law. My clients receive the attention and compassion they deserve, with their peace of mind being my top priority. Enjoy the comfort of knowing that you have planned for the worst so you can confidently continue living at your best. Visit SchromanLaw.com. That's SchromenLaw.com.
Hi, I'm Frank Brown, owner of the only minority-owned union print shop in Minnesota.
Do you work with political campaigns?
Yes, we have years of experience helping campaigns.
Do you print buttons for political campaigns?
Yes, we print everything.
Do you print rally signs?
Yes, we print everything.
Do you print T-shirts?
Yes, we print everything. Choose the only minority-owned union print shop in Minnesota for all your political campaign needs. Learn more at mpuptown.com. Minuteman Press Uptown. We print everything.
With your AM 950 weather, this is Eric Nelson. Tonight will be mostly clear with a low around negative 8. Tomorrow, increasing clouds with a high of 15 and a low of 9. Thursday, partly sunny with a high of 28 and a low of 22. While Friday is cloudy with a high of 34 and a low of 20. EatLocalMinnesota.com's restaurant of the week is Burger Mo's, offering 20 fresh, never frozen varieties of burgers, as well as delicious apps, soups, salads, dogs, paninis, shakes, and desserts. Burger Mo's is the perfect gathering spot before or after XL Energy events.
We're back on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota, on our 4 o'clock Minnesota Progressive Repartee. So it is official. The Democratic-controlled House voted today to pass a $1.4 trillion government-wide spending package, according to the AP. And I bring that up because this is the wording of the Associated Press on this, handing President Donald Trump a victory on his U.S.-Mexico border fence while giving Democrats spending increases across a swath of domestic programs. Somehow that's being brought through as a victory for Democrats, even though, as we talked about yesterday, there's hardly any victories. There's no victories whatsoever if you're a progressive in that actual budget compromise that was passed, including several cuts to taxes that are used to fund Obamacare. It's basically an entire Republican budget. And the analogy I was using yesterday is that it's always Democrats when we go to these budget negotiations, or really any negotiation whatsoever. It'll be the Republicans coming through with proposals and Democrats countering by saying, no, please don't do that. It's always playing defense. Have you picked up on that too, whenever we have negotiations between Democrats and Republicans?
Yeah, I don't think that it's always defense, but I think that we'll play defensively even when we're playing offense. Like when we put something forward, like the ACA, we're immediately going to try to compromise and be like, oh, well, actually we'll do this and do this so you won't attack us as much. But they'll always still attack us, so it's bizarre.
Yeah, exactly. They're also excellent at negotiating against themselves.
Yeah.
That's exactly what they do.
They preemptively try to guess what the Republicans won't like, and surprise, they just don't like it no matter what.
Yeah, and we saw this somewhat happen in this budget agreement as well. So this hard-fought legislation funds a record Pentagon budget, which we're going to get to in just a few minutes, and is serving as must-pass legislative locomotive to tow an unusually large haul of unrelated provisions into the law, including an expensive repeal of Obama-era taxes on high-cost health care plans, help for retired coal miners, and an increase from 18 to 21 in the nationwide legal age to buy tobacco products, which actually would be quite a change to actually see this go through nationwide, where you'd actually see the tobacco age go up from 18 to 21. Of course, we've seen a few cities in Minnesota actually do that on an individual basis, raising their tobacco age buying from 18 to 21. But also in there as well, as you heard, is this record spending we're going to be giving to the Pentagon. $738 billion, which, by the way, and this is just the most insane part, that $738 billion we're giving to the Pentagon is actually more than it actually requested when they were going through the budget. The Pentagon actually wanted less than $738 million, but Congress said, oh, that's not enough. We're going to give you even more money than you asked for. Can you think of any other department or any other line item in the budget where Congress actually gave whatever department or whatever line item that was more money than they actually asked for? But that's apparently what's happening with that $738 billion to the Pentagon. Also, an interesting part to bring up about this money that's being spent on the Pentagon. It's $120 billion more than Pentagon spending that we had under the Obama administration. And if you were to use that $120 billion, by the way, to fund other programs that actually could pay for public college, also a trade school or apprenticeship program in the U.S., it could also pay for getting people who are homeless into housing, and also provide universal school meals. If we were to take that $120 billion increase we've had on Pentagon spending since Donald Trump took office, again, we spent $120 billion less when Obama was in office, and we could actually use all of that money to fund things like free college or school lunches for every kid in elementary school and, well, all levels of K-12 education, and also get people who are homeless housing. But instead, got to feed that military-industrial complex for some reason.
There's never those massive cries of where's the money going to come from when we have to fund the military.
Yeah, and by the way, we've never actually had an independent audit of the Pentagon. I would love to actually see what we would uncover if we had a real independent audit, not actually the Pentagon themselves auditing, actually, you know, an actual firm that's independent completely of them going through and trying to figure out.
I believe it's the only government agency that has never been audited.
Yeah, I don't think the Fed has been audited either.
I think that's like a quasi-government agency, so that falls into
doesn't necessarily count. Yeah, but I know for sure, as you said, the Pentagon has never, ever been audited. And of course, that comes on top of what we saw with the Afghanistan papers and the fact that we basically went into that country without having any idea of who the good guys and the bad guys are. And as we talked about yesterday, Afghanistan is basically where every empire goes to die. Just ask the Russians and now essentially us as well.
Their culture is just being under siege, so they're totally comfortable with it.
And by the way, have you ever seen the landscape of Afghanistan? That's a tough place to actually launch a ground invasion. When you look at all the mountains and the rough terrain, yeah, that's a brutal place to actually try to conduct a military invasion, and that's essentially why no country has ever done that successfully. So, yeah, in light of the Afghanistan papers, we're still seeing this massive increase in Pentagon funding that even they weren't even asking for themselves. So what the solution is to this, I kind of go back to what Gregory Rich was saying back when we used to do those solutions show here on AM 950. And I think Gregory Rich had a kind of unique solution to this. And that's the fact that the Pentagon and defense contractors are always going to want that money, and they're going to want it spent on something. So why not, instead of spending it on wars, we could actually give them a different task to spend that money on, whether it's infrastructure or even using it to fight climate change? Because I think back when he was on the program in the fall, he brought up a good point, is that you can't just all of a sudden go and cut that funding to the Pentagon and defense contractors with them without them actually raising a huge fuss, which, by the way, wouldn't be the worst thing in the world, but to at least kind of get rid of some of that blowback, you could at least have them spend that money on something else rather than weapons and endless wars. So that was at least a solution he threw out there, which I think would probably be at least better than what we're currently doing with our defense spending. Let's go to Mark in Fridley, who wants to chime in. Hi there, Mark. What's on your mind today?
Well, I just want to piggyback now on your comment that the Federal Reserve, that needs to be audited. And, you know, those are the things that will never change unless somebody like Bernie Sanders or Elizabeth Warren get in power. But the U.S. Department of Defense is actually in violation of U.S. federal law, because every year the Comptroller General of the United States, through the Government Accountability Office, is required to present their GAAP, Generally Acceptable Accounting Principles,
right,
to Congress. But every year, this is what they say: certain material weaknesses in internal control over financial reporting and other limitations on the scope of our work resulted in conditions that prevented us from expressing an opinion on the fiscal year's fill in a date. Every year, they're in violation of the federal law. And we can talk about that, because that is a huge, and I'm so glad you linked that to the Afghanistan, because there's an inspector general for Iraq, an inspector general for Pakistan, and they're all saying the same things. But with respect to Randy in Coon Rapids, he is the type of Kool-Aid drinker that Carly Fiorina announced today that if she was in Congress, she would vote for impeachment of Donald Trump, but that would not prevent her from voting for Donald Trump in the 2020 election. And associated to that, Robert Reich, who was Hillary Clinton's biggest cheerleader in 2016, has now found the light and is backing Elizabeth Warren and Bernie Sanders. And what's important for people like myself that warned what would happen if Hillary Clinton was allowed to become the nominee, being, in essence, unelectable for a variety of reasons. Federal court judges and Supreme Court judges would be dominated by whoever won, and it was Donald Trump. Now, the reason why Lindsey Graham and Mitch McConnell are now saying that they don't have any interest at this point in time in subpoenaing Hunter Biden and Joe Biden for the impeachment hearing is because they have been caught dead to rights. They have video, they have audio, they have DNA done. And the reason they don't want to expose them right now is because, could you imagine if somehow Joe Biden was allowed to squeak through again and somehow won the election? And think of the information that the Republicans have to blackmail and extort him and his family. And that's exactly what would happen. So turn the corner, see the light, like Robert Reich. And the only way, people, we are going to get out of this hole, and this is why nothing changes. Do you think that change is the goal? It's not, unless we go with a Sanders and Warren ticket. So
All right.
God bless everybody. Have a great Christmas.
All right. Thanks for the call there, Mark. So, yeah, I'm not going to say whether that's actually true, whether they have visual and video evidence on Joe and Hunter Biden. But if that is true, let's just take Mark at his word. That actually would be brilliant political strategy on the part of Republicans, because I actually made the argument that Republicans, and this goes to what point I'm about to make, Republicans actually would have been better off having a very narrow Hillary Clinton victory in 2016 for this reason. Imagine the majorities they would have built up in state legislatures around the country. They basically would have entrenched Republican majorities for probably another 15 years. You also would have had quite nearly, I'm guessing, probably a filibuster, if not veto-proof majority in the Senate, simply because Democrats were likely to probably get annihilated in 2018 if you had a Hillary Clinton presidency. And you probably also would have seen a record deficit in terms of Republicans to Democrats in the U.S. House. So, yeah, there actually is something to the fact that sometimes you are actually better off losing presidential elections than actually winning. And I would almost make the argument that Democrats were, in a way, better off actually losing in 2016, not necessarily with Hillary, but with really any candidate they potentially could have run, at least in terms of how the system plays out in terms of 2020 being a census year election, and then the fact that you always typically get big gains in midterm elections. I think an argument could certainly have been made that whoever actually won in 2016 actually lost in the long term, which in this case was actually Republicans who won in 2016. So that kind of goes to what Mark was talking about just a second ago. And yeah, if that actually were true, again, not sure about that. If that were true, that they had evidence against the Bidens, I could actually see that being brilliant political strategy on the Republicans' part of actually having Biden get through and then, of course, going and blackmailing him later on in the process if he gets in office. But, of course, that is all complete speculation. With that said, we're going to get back to the news in just a second here on the program, because I want to talk about another state that's going through a voter purge. Yesterday, we talked about Wisconsin and Ohio having a massive voter purge. Well, Georgia is now joining the list, including having a 4% shrink in their registered voting rolls. We're going to talk more about that up next, as well as Rick Gates, who just got a prison sentence. It's an interesting prison sentence as well. We'll talk more about that up next on the program.
I'm Dr. Thomas Adams, President and CEO of Better Futures Minnesota. We're a social enterprise dedicated to rebuilding lives through housing, workforce development, health and family engagement, and coaching supports that give men the skills and relationships they need to succeed. Better Futures Minnesota engages men who had a history of incarceration, homelessness, poverty, untreated mental and physical health challenges to help them achieve self-sufficiency and a better future for themselves and their communities. Visit us at betterfuturesminnesota.com to learn how you can support our enterprise.
Visit the wine bar at Cafe Latte and enjoy a unique handcrafted pizza and glass of wine, the perfect place for an intimate night or an evening with friends. Choices range from spicy Italian sausage and sweet roasted peppers to the one-of-a-kind nacho chicken pizza layered with blue corn tortilla chips. The approachable wine list offers over 30 by the glass, with special emphasis on wines from Washington State. End your night with one of Cafe Latte's melt-in-your-mouth desserts, 850 Grand Avenue, St. Paul.
Economists say 70% of our economy is driven by consumer spending. What if we shifted our spending? You betcha box we can. You betcha box offers a wide selection of locally sourced gift boxes that are a perfect gift this holiday season. This unique gift is ideal for clients and the foodie in your life. The Land of Lakes tea box features well-rooted tea, 100% sourced from local farms and foraged from Minnesota forests. Ames Farm single source honey, savory marsh flower from Delano, and some chai masala from St. Paul-based Ancient Indian Spices, zesty lemon rosemary nuts from Isidore Nut Company, and Annie's Caramels. Find all these products, plus an exclusive local Love Gray Duck Minnesota Proud Tea Tall, in the AM950 sponsored the Land of Lakes Tea Time You Betcha box. Perfect for client gift-giving, family celebrations, and creating your very own Land of Lakes Tea Time. Go to youbetchabox.com and order Land of Lakes Tea Time.
I'm Connie Burek, co-host of Awakened Living Infusion radio show. Join Michelle Kitzmiller and I as we focus on all aspects of health, wellness, spirituality, and growth from a mind, body, spirit, emotion perspective. On the Awakened Living radio show, we will discuss stress, self-care, fear, happiness, beliefs, communication, joy, pain, trauma, and more. Join us for the Awakened Living Infusion radio show Saturdays at 10 a.m. Let us share with you ways to infuse vitality into life.
Connections Radio Show is all about tapping into our hardwired hunger to connect. We examine meaningful connections to ourselves, our community, and the world around us. By opening the door to innovative insights by a wide variety of interesting guests, we'll make the connections to something bigger than ourselves. Join me, Lori Fitz, your host of Connections Radio Show, and together we'll make the connections. Saturday mornings at 9 a.m. on AM 950, the progressive voice of Minnesota.
We're back for the final segment of the 4 o'clock show. It's Brett along with Eric on your Tuesday afternoon. So we have yet another voter purge that has happened in addition to what we heard about Wisconsin over the weekend. This time it is in Georgia. About 309,000 names are set to be erased from Georgia's list of registered voters, which is a mass cancellation that a federal judge allowed to move forward, thanks again to a Trump-appointed judge. Overall, that would be a 4% reduction of registered voters in the state of Georgia, which is a huge number. That's 4% of registered voters, not the population, but registered voters that are all of a sudden now going to have their voter registration deactivated. So diving a little bit more into this, so while all states actually are required by federal law to routinely update their voter lists, Georgia's laws are stricter than most, as Georgia is one of 9 states with a law known as Use It or Lose It, which allows registrations to be canceled after voters fail to participate in elections for several years. In this case, it's essentially in Georgia, if you had not voted since 2012, well, your voter registration actually got canceled. Several voters said in court documents filed, though, by Fair Fight that their names should not have appeared on the state's cancellation list. And this, of course, is a big part of the problem, is that not only are you essentially canceling voter registration for no reason, because, hey, if you're someone out there that decided I don't want to vote in 2014, 16, or 18, there's no reason for why you should actually have your voter registration actually getting canceled whatsoever.
Yeah, what's the excuse for this? Is it that it costs too much money to keep a database open?
That's what I was trying to think about, too, as I was reading about this. What
it sounds
does
like
this,
more work yeah, for them to do.
What type of voter fraud does this actually prevent? I can't think of what it would actually do, because the only thing I would think is that if you moved and tried voting in your old district, like let's say Brett lives in Edina right now, and then I move to Maple Grove next year, then I would still try to go back and vote in Edina. That would be the only thing I could think of. But even that,
it would still work, assuming that you did it immediately. You know, I don't know what – it's obviously just trying to get people unregistered.
Yeah. It's the same sort of thing we see with voter ID as well, because people say, well, if you have voter ID, that's going to prevent voter fraud. No, it won't. The only thing voter ID actually prevents is voter impersonation, which almost never happens. Voter impersonation being that you would show up to your polling place and say, I would show up to my polling place and say, guess what? I'm Eric Nelson and I'm trying to vote. Well, if you had voter ID, of course, that would prevent that. But who is actually going and doing that?
I think that's extremely rare. I believe it's a felony to do that. So the odds, like, are you willing to risk that for a very minor reward?
And that's a great point, too, because, yeah, the risk far outweighs the reward of actually trying to vote twice in an election or actually impersonate another voter. Yeah, so both of those arguments are very, very silly. And, yeah, so this is actually going to be happening in Georgia, 4% reduction in the voter rolls. So, again, as we brought up, this really isn't getting rid of any sort of voter fraud. And the only way I could actually see this maybe actually working, or me actually coming out in favor of this, because I'm all about doing compromise sometimes, here's where I would actually say, all right, we're going to have this automatic voter cancellation. I would be completely okay with that if you have a state that has same-day voter registration as well as no photo ID. So, yeah, all right, you can go ahead and purge your voter rolls. But if you're someone who finds out that you've actually been kicked off your voter rolls and you want to go vote in the next election, you can still show up to your polling place, actually get yourself registered to vote, and not have a photo ID required. Because as I brought up in 2012, I had just moved from Iowa to Minnesota. I think it was October 29th or October 30th. And if I had tried to register it on the same day to vote, I, of course, would not have had my photo ID, being I had moved to Minnesota just days before the 2012 election. So I could see that maybe being okay of having a voter purge, even though, as Eric, I think, brought up, it really doesn't serve any purpose. I could see that being a maybe somewhat permissible thing if you actually had same-day registration and no voter ID. But by the way, Georgia doesn't have either of those. Wisconsin does allow same-day registration, but they actually do require voter ID because they're also going with the same sort of voter purge that we're seeing in Georgia. But yeah, that would at least be my thought. If you're dead set as Republicans on having these automatic voter cancellations, then fine. Let's still allow same-day registration along with no voter ID as well, because as we brought up, voter ID really doesn't do a whole heck of a lot. All right, one or two more stories to get through before the end of the show, and this one I love, Eric. Do you remember Rick Gates, an associate of several Trump associates, including Paul Manafort? He ended up getting sentenced to jail and then turned into an informant against Paul Manafort.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's Rick Gates. So Gates is aged 47, and he's a former campaign aide to Donald Trump, and he received his sentence on Tuesday, getting 36 months of probation and intermittent jail sentence of 45 days, an intermittent jail sentence of 45 days. And this is the best part of this, or worst part of it, depending on your perspective. He basically gets to choose when he wants to serve those 45 days, and they don't all have to be consecutively either. So essentially, Rick Gates can go and say, all right, well, I'm going to go to prison tonight, and then I want another 2 weeks off, and then I'll go serve three more days of prison, then I'm going to take 4 days off, then I'll go serve, well, let's go to prison for 1 day, then I'm going to take another month off, then I'll serve seven more days of my sentence. He essentially gets to pick when he gets to serve his jail sentence, which where else would you possibly hear that, where you essentially get to pick when you get to serve your days in jail, and they don't even have to be consecutive days. So I just love that idea that Rick Gates can go to the judge and say, you know what, judge, this weekend's not going to work for me going to jail. I'm just going to do it next weekend instead.
I know Epstein had a similar situation.
Oh, did he?
Yeah, where he got to serve time at his apartment doing work at Little St. James doing work.
It's even worse in this case than that Rick Gates actually gets to pick when he gets to go to prison as well. I'm just trying to picture someone, like let's say a guy goes in and holds up a Walgreens and steals $40 out of the cash register. Do you think he, when he's sentenced to prison or jail, is going to pick when he gets to go to prison? But that is the case of Rick Gates. And again, the idea that we really do have two justice systems here in the United States. All right, coming up on tomorrow's program, I want to touch on this topic. Joe Biden possibly making a promise to serve only one term if he's elected president. I think on his part, that would actually be brilliant strategy that could possibly clinch him the Democratic nomination. I think it would be a great move if he were to go out and announce that, at least from a political strategy perspective. We're going to talk more about that on our program tomorrow, as well as other topics. Again, I will talk to you then.